waves of mercy? What kind of influence came over the Prime Minister and Finance Minister of Bengal to abandon their ministerial posts, meaning that Sanatan was placed into prison? After which, entering into Braj, they became mendicants, living under a different tree every night. Although these pastimes are wonderful, and some fortunate souls have concluded that they're exceptional, even amongst the avatars, greater than even the Leela of Krishna in terms of mercy, yet behind the scenes of his visible Leela, another dynamic is unfolding, which is incomprehensible and inaccessible to all those except those who accept the position as servant of the servant of the servant, of those who are like the honeybees described here by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, hovering at the lotus feet of the Lord's dear associates. They alone are privileged to unravel the mystery to some extent, which for others is completely impossible. This is indicated in the talks between Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur regarding the deliverance of the Yavana who died chanting Haram. How abominable is it to be gored by this boar to death? But that was Namabhas awarding him liberation. And in their talks, Mahaprabhu expressed his concern. There are innumerable living entities in this material world. How will they all be delivered? Echoing the thoughts that Kaviraj Goswami explains regarding the Lord's concern, the living entities are my children. I'm their father. It's my duty to see to their welfare. So Mahaprabhu was asking Haridas Thakur, how can it be affected? He said, don't be sorrowful, my lord. They're already delivered. By the loud sound of your kirtan, in which the devotees are chanting, there's an echo from the distance. It's not really an echo. In actuality, that is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although wonderful, is possible by your mercy. And he said, you know, Vasudeva Dutta prayed that they all be delivered. You have answered that prayer. But there's something more. And I, Haridas Thakur, who is Brahma, cannot fathom even the depth and wonder of one drop of that mercy, which is ever expanding as well. And then Mahaprabhu said, he told him, don't say anymore. What is Haridas Thakur alluding to? Lord Chaitanya revealed wonderful pastimes in this world, displaying a degree of indiscriminate, unreserved mercy surpassing any avatar. But those pastimes are like seeds. We began this series of talks with on the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri, the first tender shoot of the tree of Lord Gauranga's mission and associates, in whose heart Lord Krishna had placed that seed of prema, which sprouted in the heart and manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri, who articulated the sentiments of all the Brijabasis at the time just prior to Uddhava's delivering Krishna's message. And the Divyan Mind and the Chitta Jalpa with which Srimati Radharani was addressing the bumblebee became the central theme of Mahaprabhu's moods and pastimes. That seed which sprouted in the heart of Madhavendra Puri, manifesting in his words, conveyed through Ishwara Puri by his blessings to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, that seed also expanded. Because when you plant a seed and you grow a tree, that tree provides many more seeds from the fruit that it develops in time. Mahaprabhu considered himself to be a gardener. He thought, I brought down these fruits of prem. I can't take them back. They must be distributed. And in the distribution, the seeds were placed back into the soil of this earth and sprouted into so many wonderful pastimes, which we just listed. But to some extent, those pastimes were the exoteric, the visible, which took their place in history. But they indicate something behind the scenes, a dynamic evolving and unfolding and expanding. Because the Lord was not concerned only with the deliverance of the universe during his Leela, which was affected as a consequence. Even those who avoided him, who offended his devotees, who flamed their own insecurities and fears and kept at a distance from him, and who resisted him, and who opposed him, they were all liberated to Vaikuntha. What to speak of those who submitted to his mercy, who bowed down before him, who appreciated his servants, who chanted his holy name, who assisted in his mission. They went beyond Vaikuntha to enter into what no other avatar can award to the jivas, entrance into the sweet and holy groves of Braja. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswat, who Srila Prabhupada loved to quote so much, in heartfelt words, like rising like ocean tide, which has made him immortal, condenses into the essence the direction to prema, not in the spirit of majestic love as predominant in Vaikuntha, but as known only in Braja, which no one had ever previously understood. The honey-sweet mellows of Vrindavan, which no one could ever fathom, and the topmost peak, on the whole range of spiritually perfected souls, Srimati Radharani, who no one could ever comprehend. All these things and so much more Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed by his infinite mercy. So, backtracking a little bit to where we left off. No, maybe we better continue this theme first. The seeds. What are the seeds? What is the purpose of the seeds? What is revealed from the seeds? These pastimes revealed in Mahaprabhu's Leela are indications of things yet to come, not during his manifest Leela, but for the rest of the Kali Yuga, because it's not really Kali Yuga. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, when it was time for Kali's age to begin, He looked down and he saw some brilliance from below, and his informers told him that the goddess of fortune is still present. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says that as long as Krishna remained in this world, which extended beyond, a little bit beyond the end of the Dvapara Yuga, and Kali could not enter until Krishna returned to his own abode, and then Kali entered with vengeance, because he knew. You can hear his own words on the matter, very illuminating. Kali reveals the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava theology like no Acharya has done, because he's a Shaktavish avatar who serves by apparent opposition. He knows the glory of Mahaprabhu. And he knows that after the 48 years of his Leela, at which time Kali has no place to stand within the mortal world, after which he will assault the world with more vengeance in the forms of temptation to become materially attached, to offend the devotees. But the seeds that Mahaprabhu planted will surely sprout in time and spread his mercy in the form of the name to every town and village. And that's why you'll see if Srimad Bhagavatam in both the 11th canto and the 12th describes the symptoms of Kali, Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada, I'd love to comment on these verses. And it's pretty much a repeat in the 12th canto of what's already been stated in the 11th canto. But there's a different conclusion attached. In the 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit the degradation, the suffering, the torment the living entities undergo in this age of Kali. But he says, hardly anyone will take shelter of the holy name, and therefore it is the most condemned of all ages. In the 11th canto, he says, basically the same thing as far as how the living entities are tormented. But he says it's the best of all ages because practically everyone will take shelter of the holy name. Whenever there is such a contradiction in scripture, you know that there's something wonderful to be revealed in the resolution of the apparent conflict. And that is that Shukadeva Goswami is describing the typical Kali Yuga. Karabhajana Muni to King Nimi is describing the exceptional Kali Yuga, which is Kali Yuga in name only. You could more appropriate call it an age of Shuddha Sattva or Prem. And to give indication and to give faith and encouragement for those who missed that 48-year Leela 500 years ago, a misfortune beyond our ability to calculate. Where were we? Bound and shackled in what other universe to have missed the once-in-a-kalpa opportunity by such a short miscalculation? But the all-merciful Lord has not forsaken us as lost, that universal exodus from the mortal realm, which was available automatically, is still available, but it's not automatic. Now there are rules and regulations you have to follow. And what is the gist of those rules and regulations? Mahaprabhu's teachings is a combination of Vaidhi, which comes from Vidhi, which means the rules and regulations of the scripture, without which worship, even if it's sincere, is a disturbance. And also Raganuga. Bhakti. Our process is a combination of the two. So Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations, means you worship the Lord in the two rasas that are available in this mortal realm, which is Shantaras, which the Vaishnavas reject because it's kind of impersonal, passive adoration. Love is expressed in service. So really, there's only one rasa available in this material world, that's Dasya Ras. In reverence, that's the essence of Vaidhi Bhakti. We serve the Yuga Avatar in Dasya Ras with reverence. But what is Kaviraj Goswami revealing as he expresses Krishna's thoughts? All the world naturally worships me in awe and veneration. Every human being naturally worships the Lord in veneration. Anybody who doesn't is simply animal. Any human being naturally worships the Lord in reverence. That's the nature of the human being. They can't help it. They understand the Lord is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the world. Our function is to worship him. But Krishna is saying, and Kaviraj Goswami is revealing to us, that Krishna is not pleased by that. Why? Because Krishna wants our love. And he's saying that love made feeble, feeble means weak, crippled, by reverence, it doesn't really attract me. And then he reveals what attracts him. Cowherd boy climbs on my shoulders. What is he referring to? Brudge? Where the cowherd boys, they, you know, every game that children play in this world, they have more in Brudge. But amongst cowherd boys, standard exchange is wrestling. Krishna likes to wrestle with his friends. And the conditions are the game of the game is that whoever loses has to carry whoever wins on his shoulders. So Krishna wrestles with Sri Dama, or sometimes Srimati Radharani. Sometimes she wins. Sometimes she loses. But sometimes Sri Dama wins, and sometimes he loses. And sometimes when Gopa beats Krishna in the wrestling match, he says, okay, Krishna, now you have to carry me. And Krishna says, no, I'm not going to carry you. What do you mean? You broke the principles. What? Somebody left a banana peel on the ground, and I slipped. And you beat me when I was down. That's not fair. You broke the principles, and therefore I won't carry you. And the gopa says, yes, you will. And he climbs right on Krishna's back. And Krishna relishes that. But we can't do that here in this material world. That's not part of Vaidhi Bhakti. Because Vaidhi Bhakti is the way you worship Krishna in this world. And it only goes as far as Dasya Ras. That's it. That's the extent of our rasa with Krishna in this world. But that's not pleasing to Krishna, as he says. Or it may be pleasing, but it's not deeply satisfying to his heart. Because the reverence means there's a distance. There are formalities, regulations, which shackle our spontaneity, which bind our creativity, which thwart the intimacy of love, which Krishna wants. So other rasas, like Sakya, Vatsalya, and Sringara are not of this world. They come down. Krishna brings them down by his yogamaya potency, because we cannot rise to equality with Krishna. And that's why Mahaprabhu so much objected to the Mayavad prevalent at his time. We cannot rise to the level of Krishna. But if Krishna wants to invoke his yoga maya to cast this spell, that he's on our level, he's our friend, we can wrestle with him and climb on his shoulders, it's not within our ability to resist that illusion. His illusory energy is stronger than the jiva soul. So he can create the illusion that he's our equal. He can create the illusion that he's our child and we're superior to him. He can create the illusion that we're his lover and he's controlled and subdued by us. But these rasas are not of this world. They are of the spiritual world, and only Krishna himself can bestow them. And that is called, at least, well, of course, there's in Vaikuntha, in the material world, there's two rasas. In Vaikuntha, there's two and a half. There's a kind of friendship that you say, but Krishna has queens. Not really beloved, they're really servants who are just queens. There's no intimacy there. True Vatsalya in terms of equality to the level you can wrestle with Krishna, that is only found in Braj. What to speak of that, I mean, Vasudeva and Devaki have the sense that Krishna is their child, but it's not intimate to the extent that Mother Yashoda can chase him with a stick, and he's crying and trembling, and his ear, and his eyes are red, and he's caught and chastised by Mother Yashoda. This is not found in Vaikuntha. What to speak of how Krishna is subdued by the gopis? Rukmini noticed that, you know, Krishna had many sleepless nights in Dwarka because he was lonely. Rukmini is there at his side. And when he would drift off into slumber, Rukmini would hear him calling the cows and the gopis and incessantly chanting Radhe Radhe, and Rukmini realized, he's not with me at all. He's just, you know, performing his duty in Dwarka in an absent-minded state. His body is here. His mind and heart are in Vrindavan. So, and in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi told Narayan, I want to enter the Rasa Lila. He said, well, then you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. What does that mean? You make cow dung patties and churn butter and milk cow. She said, I can't do that. So she performed great tapasya as a reward for which the Lord took her upon his chest in the form of Sri Vatsa. But she couldn't enter his heart, just superficially there on his chest. Why? That was discussed by Mahaprabhu with Venkatabhata. How is it that your goddess is so enchanted with your goddess, who serves the Lord of Vaikuntha, is so enamored with my Gopa Lord? He said, well, that's, you know, he's just another form of Lakshmi. It's natural because actually he's superior in terms of sweetness and charm. Then Mahaprabhu asked, but why? She could not enter Rasa Lila. I'm a jiva, I can't understand these things. You must reveal. He said, because she failed to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. But what does this have to do with our daily sadhana and our struggle to chant our rounds with attention. Part of our vaidhi is raganuga, which means following the ragatmakas, those who have that rag, that affection, that intimate love. It's actually very simple, the science. And Lord Nityananda explained it to Jiva Goswami in a nutshell. In this world, we worship the Yuga Avatar in Dasya Ras. But when we become, or as we become purified by that process, gradually, gradually, because who are we worshiping? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayani. We're worshiping the Yuga Avatar, but the Yuga Avatar is just an amsa of Sri Gauranga. So we're worshiping the Yuga Avatar. And how is he worshipped? Yadinam Sankirtan. That's the only means of worshipping the Yuga Avatar in this age. But this is not an ordinary age. And this is not ordinary Yuga Dharma. This is Prema Dharma, which unfolds as you practice the Yuga Dharma. And that Raganuga Bhakti, because he's not the Yuga Avatar. The Yuga Avatar is just one amsa. But by worshipping Gornitai, who is Nitai? You can say he's Balaram, but Balaram connects us with Krishna. Lord Nityananda has an exceptional additional service of engaging us in the service of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Raganuga Bhakti means following the ragatmakas. Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion, Raganuga means following in the footsteps of that eternal resident of Vrindavan whose mood corresponds with your own. But they're all following in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, who is at the lead, who even Krishna is following in his form of Gauranga to try to understand the glory of her love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone can realize through her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes his love. So, by worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Nam Sankirtan, by the process of Vaidhi, which only goes as far as Dasya Ras, that's it. But then, as the heart becomes purified, and the rasas, the mellows of Vrindavan begin to awaken within our hearts, then gradually, gradually, the Nitai Gauranga in Nadia reveal their other dimension, as Radha and Krishna in Braja. So, backtracking a little to where we left off yesterday, unrecognized direct manifestations. What is the purpose of this series of very abrupt and bewildering events? Lord Chaitanya wanted to make it clear that he is Krishna. Because during that period, he was revealing his predominant mood as Srimati Radharani. But to balance our understanding, the series of unrecognized direct manifestations made it clear that he is Krishna. And he also, thereafter, emphasized the importance of Sri Nityananda Rama, who is Guru Tattva, in a special form. So when Nitai arrived in Nadia, it was the day before Vyas Puja. So after their first exchange, which was very esoteric and intimate, nobody could understand what they were talking about in their sign language and indirect and very esoteric exchange. But then when they came back to external consciousness, Mahaprabhu said, are you going to perform Vyas Puja, which is tomorrow? Itai took Srivas and said, at his house. And Mahaprabhu said, you have a heavy responsibility on your shoulders. He said, no problem, I'm all ready. I just need to borrow the book, which explains the procedure. So they went to Srivasangan right then and there. And Mahaprabhu did what he would do at very unusual times. He ascended the throne of Vishnu and began swaying back and forth. And his eyes were rolling. He said, bring me wine. And the devotees looked at one another. And he said it louder, bring me wine. And they looked at one another. What does he mean? Bring me wine. And no one could rise to the occasion. They did not know what he was alluding to. Then he turned to Nityananda and said, bring me my plow. And Lord Nityananda reached out his arms and hands. And those who were really fortunate saw that he handed Mahaprabhu his plow. Others just saw that they're he just reached out empty hands, and there was some kind of exchange, but they couldn't see anything. But those who were fortunate saw that it was the plow. And then Nitai was becoming very eccentric and very ecstatic, and he was just laughing. And then he broke his danda. And when Srivas saw he broke his danda, this is... He told Mahaprabhu he broke his danda. Mahaprabhu came over and Mahaprabhu threw Nitai's danda in the river. Does it remind you of some exchange that followed later? But Nitai was still ecstatic and he saw a crocodile and he could not resist chasing the crocodiles. And Srivas was calling out, stop, stop. He couldn't. He wanted to play with that crocodile. He said, Mahaprabhu, he won't listen to any. Nitai, come. And only Mahaprabhu's words, like a goad which can control a bull elephant, it brought him back, and he came back. But he was still very wild that night. And the next day was Vyas Puja. So Srivas Thakur gave the garland meant for the worship of Vyasadeva to Lord Nityananda. And he took the garland and he just stood there. He was supposed to put it on the picture of Vyasadeva, but he just stood there, muttering something to himself, but nobody could hear just exactly what he was saying to himself. Srivas said, put the garland on Srila Vyasadeva. Yes, yes, yes. He just stood there, put the garland on Vyasadeva. It is so. He just stood there. Put the garland on. It should be. And he just stood there. Place the, yes, yes, yes. And then he went to Mahaprabhu. He won't listen to anybody but you. So Mahaprabhu came before him and told him, place the garland on Vyasadeva. And Nitai placed the garland on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who immediately revealed his six-arm form, holding conch, club, disc, lotus, as well as the plow that he received the day before. And that was too much, and Nitai just fell down unconscious. And although the devotees were chanting, he would not resume his consciousness. Mahaprabhu kneeled down at his side and spoke to him very gently in soothing tone. Nitai, compose your mind and hear the chanting which is manifest by you. The purpose of your advent has now been realized. What else do you want? You, my Nitai, are made of love, and you can distribute that love to whoever you choose who will receive that love. And then Nitai came back to external consciousness and again, Vyas Puja. What is the important significance of this Leela, which was the first festival honored after the appearance of Lord Nityananda? The significance of Vyasadeva was revealed and expanded and continues to expand through the Acharyas. And this is an important theistic principle to grasp. For the jiva, before he meets his guru, he can't really have all that much faith in the scripture. And what does meeting guru mean, first of all? And Mahaprabhu said it himself when he was having those dreams about that tall white figure on the chariot, the flag and with the emblem of the, and he had a plow, and he was swaying back and forth. And then they realized it sounds like Balaram has come to Nadia, and he sent Haridas Thakur and Srivastava, but they couldn't find him. And after they searched and searched until the point it was clear that the empiric approach will never succeed, Mahaprabhu said, I'll find him. He's playing hide and seek. I'll find him. Which means that it's only by the mercy of Krishna that we attain guru. But what does attaining guru mean? Twofold. First of all, that your paths cross. Your paths cross. Secondly, it means you have the ability to recognize the agent of Lord Nityananda, the energy of Balaram coming through a surrendered soul due to his desire to serve. So even common men inherit religious theory and practice from their religion and culture and the scriptures of their forefathers. And in the West, the common people believe in the Bible, which is a compendium of realizations delivered to the prophets over the ages, culminating in the appearance and life of Jesus and a couple of events that followed his resurrection, and then case closed. Similar in Islam. Muhammad is the last prophet. Allah is God, and that's all there is to it. But such a doctrine is opposed to the dynamic nature of the empowerment needed to adjust the differences which inevitably arise as theories and practice need to be adjusted with varying times and circumstances in the world. And Vyasadeva is that agent, that form of the Lord who intervenes at proper stages in the history of the world to arrange, as his name implies, editor, to arrange and edit and explain and comment on the Shastras for our proper understanding and application, as we see in Srila Prabhupada's books, in which he said the purports are by far the most important part, because what can we understand from scripture? And how can we know that our understanding is right? By the commentaries. And the use of the name Vyasadeva as the author of different shastras at different periods in history, the empiric scholars think is some kind of device for fabricating a sense of authenticity and authority to, you know, the different scriptures that arise at different times in the history of the world. There's another way to understand this. It is indicative of the chain of succession, which is one of living communion, through which Vyasa writes commentaries and purports, sometimes directly, sometimes vicariously. If he writes directly through the pen of some acharya, that acharya uses, he signs it Vyasadeva as the author. If Vyasadeva works in spirit vicariously through his agent, then the acharya signs with his own name. What is Shastra? It is the record of divine sound written in the form of language, which is Shastric language is different than ordinary language because it has its own code, which cannot be deciphered by the empiric mind and is thus protected from ascending investigation, but reveals itself instead to a humble soul. And Nitai, Guru Tattva, decodes the language of Shastra, or he awards us the code by submissive service attitude. And thus we find that the first event in the life of Nitai after coming to Nadia was Vyasa Puja. So, and why did Mahaprabhu choose? Because, as we've been discussing, he was the master of every field of knowledge and could defeat every professor in every branch of empiric knowledge. But he chose Vyakarana, grammar, for his own university. He was known as a teacher of Vyakarana, which is considered quite elementary, a course. But Mahaprabhu saw that as very worthy field for his teaching, because what is Sanskrit? The characters in Sanskrit, charita, just like we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya means life, charita means character, amrita, nectar, charita. The characters of the language, the Sanskrit language, they're the form that that sound, they're the form of that sound impressed upon the ether. And therefore you have, you know, vowels and consonants. The vowels are the masculine entities of nature. Sanskrit means pure, undefiled voice of nature. The vowels are the masculine representatives of the deity, the consonants representative of Prakriti, and therefore they cannot be independent, have to be with consonants. Sanskrit was born with creation. And the words are the forms of sound, which hold within them the essence of what they convey and the attributes they signify. The characters of the Sanskrit language are like sound shells containing within them the essence of what they signify and the attributes they convey. And therefore, chanting of mantra is the process by which the reverberation dissolves the shell and releases the essence to our consciousness. But the conclusion of his teaching of grammar is that the sound, Krishna, is the essence of love, which is nature's absolute attribute. and therefore his conclusion to all his teachings was that every vowel, consonant, syllable, word, verse, poem, song, scripture is just the holy name of Krishna in the process of devotional service. But nobody could understand what he was talking about. And his lectures averaged about 10 hours each. You know, a simple question like, what does Datu mean? It is the holy name of Krishna. And then for 10 hours he would be elaborating and he'd come out of his ecstasy. What did I say? Did you understand? We couldn't understand a word. But we accept whatever you say as truth. But we couldn't understand anything you explained. He said, well, I'm sorry, I can't teach you grammar anymore in this condition. Because every time they'd open their books, they'd chant Hari Hari, and then that was it. The whole rest of the day was... And whatever the question they asked, it didn't change the topic. So he said, I can't teach you anymore in this condition. Because all I can see is the form of that gopa. I saw it, can I not saw it, who approached me with his sapphire luster and his sweet, charming, enchanting smile and the waves of hair cascading around his moonlight face and his lotus eyes and his beautiful lips, holding flute in his hand as he approached me to embrace, and then he disappeared to go who knows where. Where is Krishna? Where is he gone? Please relieve my sorrow by bringing the prince of the gopas, the son of Nanda. And the students didn't know what to do. So he said, I can't teach you anymore. You'll have to pursue your university education and receive your diploma from some other professor. Because I can't teach anything else than the glories of the name, because the sound of that flute, the essence of all sound is and the response is the holy, I can't teach anything else. So Mahaprabhu closed his books and pushed them aside. Said, I bless you to go to wherever you choose and study whatever you like. And I bless you that true wisdom awaken within your hearts. And all those students closed their books and pushed them aside. Said, we can't go to anyone else. After hearing from you, we won't hear from anyone else. We won't approach anyone else. The bond of love is too strong. If you say the holy name is everything, we accept it, we believe it, but what we don't know is how to practice it. And that's when he raised his arms in the air and chanted, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopala Govindaram Srimadu Sudhana. So why? We discussed yesterday, but for those who weren't here, he liked that mantra and he chose that mantra sometimes over the Hare Krishna mantra, which he had already expressed to Tapan Mishra as the real essence of his teachings. But why sometimes he chose this other mantra? Because the Hare Krishna mantra is the appeal to the devotional energy. Hara. And in the vocative, which means this is urgent, this is crucial, plea for mercy, a plaintive plea from an earnest heart for mercy and shelter in the form of bhakti, and therefore Hara becomes Hare, who introduces us to and connects us with Krishna. But Mahaprabhu wouldn't chant that song when he was in a certain mood, because he is Hare. he is Radha, who is addressed by Hare, so he wouldn't call out to Radha for shelter and mercy because he's in that mood. So he would chant the other song when he was in that mood. So it was Advaitacharya who was performing the function of the Yuga Avatar and realizing that the souls of this world in this particular age are too far gone for any mercy other than that which can be bestowed by the Lord himself in the form of the mellows of Vrindavan, beginning with Sakya and Vatsalya and Madhurya, not characteristic of Vaikuntha, but unique to Braja. So he, not understanding how to bring that Lord down, but he found the verse that Lord Krishna is purchased by Tulsi Manjari in Ganges water. And with soft cries like a child calling for mother, alternating with resounding thunderous voice reverberating by Kunta, he resolved, I will bring him down. But the funny thing was, for so many years, he was continuing to worship the Shalagrama Shila, not realizing that the Lord had already appeared next door. Because such is the nature of his yoga maya, that even the devotees cannot perceive his identity unless and until he chooses to reveal himself. So, when he appeared in the midst of the kirtan, and Advaita was dancing arm in arm with Haridas, and the devotees were praying, may this inauspicious lunar eclipse go on forever, because everyone was chanting Hare Krishna for protection. But his desire was that Lord Krishna come himself, because only Krishna himself can bestow the love of Vrindavan in the form of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. And when the Lord comes himself, and bestows prem, not in the spirit of majesty, but in the spirit of the very essence of Madhurya prem. When the Lord bestows that process of chanting the holy name, when he comes for relishing his own sweetness, he bestows some fabulous good fortune upon the world that anyone who becomes the servant of his servant experiences the same flavor of love which he came to understand and relish for himself. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. First, I offer my obeisances to the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the energies and consorts of the Lord, and then to the Supreme Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. What the Upanishads describe as the luster of his form, and what the yogis worship as the supersoul, are merely his plenary portions. He is the supreme primeval Lord, and no one is equal to or greater than him. May the Supreme Lord, who is glorified and known as the Son of Satyadevi, be transcendentally situated in the core of your hearts, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He is descended in the age of Kali to deliver what no avatar, including Krishna, has ever offered before, the mellow taste of his own service in the flavor of the Brijabasi's love. The transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are manifestations of the Lord's own internal potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in identity, they have separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental personalities have united again in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who is Krishna himself in the guise of the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. So when the Lord appeared and Kali saw, this is no longer my age, and he receded into the shadows of the night, his fear was confirmed as the words of the Brahmanas drifted across the expanse of the Ganges. Blessed is this holy eve, the nativity scene of our Lord and Master, which the sages proclaim is that special day which has the potency to awaken ecstatic love for Krishna. The benedictions and the mercy inherent to the Lord's appearance 500 years ago is all accessible on the day of his appearance, Gaur Purnima. And therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that of all the memorable and worshipable days that occur in the life of the universe, Sri Krishna Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima are the most exalted. And thus, we worship this day. And how do we worship this day and this occasion? By Harinam Sankirtan, which means all coming together to chant the holy names. It also means sharing the holy name, distributing the holy name. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's no one so dear, nor will there ever be anyone so dear, as he who shares this secret message with the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport what he means. He said, anyone who's sincere to understand Krishna. And what are the symptoms of one who is so dear to Krishna? Sarva dharma pratyaja mamekam sharanam vaja. And what is that symptomatic of? The conclusion and essence of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyati nam namaskaru. Mame vashasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Worship me, offer your homage unto me, and thus you'll come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear devotee. Krishna speaking to everyone through Arjuna. But this is another mystery. How can we actually always think of Krishna 24 hours a day? Not by artificially imposing some name or form in your mind or before your vision. We naturally always remember who we truly love. But what if we don't have that love for Krishna? That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give. But what a special form of Krishna it is. The unique quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Sri Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, performing her function. What is her function? Ashraya Vigraha, the supreme shelter-giving devotee. What does this mean in terms of practical application in our daily practice of sadhana? We touched upon it the other day. Hope to elaborate a little bit now. Our constitutional position is we're jiva. Jiva means infinitesimal, insignificant, tiny sparks of consciousness. How much love can we offer to Krishna? And how much of his mercy and love can we receive? It is insignificant. It is infinitesimal. And falls short of satisfying the desire of the jiva or the Lord. And that's why Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati said, demons! Anyone who doesn't worship Lord Chaitanya, they're demons! Is this a sambhav? Or is this some important theological point that he wants us to really pay attention to? Anyone who thinks they can directly serve and worship the Lord, they're usurping the position of Lord Nityananda. And therefore, they are demons, or the position of Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna is only served by Srimati Radharani in Madhurya and Balaram and the other mellows. He has no other servant. Everyone else is servant of the servant, or continue the das, das, anadas indefinitely. And the further down the line you are, the more fortunate. But back to the question, how much love can we offer to Krishna? And how much of his mercy can we receive? It is infinitesimal. Not adequate to really please the heart of the Lord. And therefore, Raganuga Bhakti, back to that principle, following in the footsteps, offering our tiny devotions to the unlimited reservoir of bhakti, the wellspring of bhakti, Bhakti Devi herself, who offers our tiny insignificant love, infused, enriched, and expanded with her infinite bhav, which really pleases Krishna. And then when his mercy returns to us in reciprocation, we can actually imbibe his unlimited mercy by the intercession of Srimati Radharani. This is the unique quality and flavor of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Unique, even in the history of avatars, including Krishna himself. So as the sages proclaim, all glories to the full moon rising in the month of Phalgun, which the sages proclaim is the day which the worship of contains the potency and the key to awakening ecstatic love for Krishna and opening the portals to Goloka Vrindavan, which are otherwise inaccessible and incomprehensible. And we worship him by Sankirtan, which means coming together to to sing his glories. It means utilizing everything. Kirtan means glorification. Samyak means everything in that glorification and sharing the mercy that we have been awarded with other living entities. I don't know if we have time for questions. Comments? Anything? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada said it very simply. And eloquently, like a child crying out for mother, Mother Hara, who is my father? And Krishna reciprocates with that mood. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.